Building Jerusalem podcast. My name's Stephen Neal, the pastor at Oldham Bethel Church and blogger at Building Jerusalem.
And I'm Andy Smith, pastor at Firwood Church in Oldham.
This week we've got a guest with us, Stephen Watkinson, who some of you will remember from the earlier iteration of this podcast, is back with us. So Stephen, do you just want to tell people about what's changed for you since the last time you were on this podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to describe me as a founder of the podcast, don't you? I was like the first
founding host of the Building Jerusalem podcast. I think that's fine. I'll get you a blue plaque.
Thank you. Yes, until you got rid of me. When I was on the podcast, part of the reason I was there was I was kind of an Anglican foil to your Free Church your Free Church passion, if you like.
I think what you mean is the rightness of my independency versus your Anglican, what's the word? I don't want to say nonsense, but I'm looking for a better word than that.
By Reformed Anglicanism.
This took like this took like 3 minutes to get political.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was quite slow for us.
We'll turn on the charismatics in a minute. Don't you worry. Then you're in for it as well, mate. Yeah,
but the Holy Spirit's on my side.
Right. What was the question again? It was what's changed. So since that time, I think when I finished, I was still vicar at St. Peter's and St. Luke's in Rochdale. And then about, I don't know, it's probably about 6 months after that, I resigned. And so I left there in December and finished. So resigned that post as an Anglican vicar.
So are we permitted to ask what prompted your retirement from the world of Anglicanism? Maybe you're still an Anglican. Sorry, this is my independency speaking. I often speak of the Church of England and Anglicanism synonymously, and I know they're not. So maybe you are still Anglican, but you're just not Church of England anymore. But I'll let you tell us what you now are.
Well, bizarrely, technically, I'm still an ordained Anglican. And it's actually quite hard to change that if you you have to kind of, well, it can be changed for you. You can be defrocked, which, yeah, sounds great.
Nobody wants to see that.
No, exactly. Anglican clergy and dresses and anyway. I mean, if you'd been on, sort of heard any of those podcasts, you'd have heard some of my frustrations with the Church of England. And probably have heard in me that it was becoming more and more difficult to be faithful. So I seem to remember us talking about one of the key things in ministry when we talked about sort of success and what ministry success meant. We talked about being faithful, that's what it meant. And I think for a long time, I wanted to fight the fight in Anglicanism in the Church of England to try and be someone who was a light in that context for the gospel, for Reformed Christianity, which I think is the roots of Anglicanism, but I don't think it's the reality of Anglicanism anymore. And in a very liberal diocese like Manchester, where, you know, almost everyone who was more senior than you was quite antagonistic towards just kind of basic evangelical Christianity. I mean, frankly, towards basic historic Christianity, even more broadly conceived. I felt it became impossible to have integrity and faithfulness in ministry. So I resigned. I mean, you probably, if you've at all kept up with what's gone on in Anglicanism, you'll kind of know that it's around, in one sense, it's around a bunch of ethical questions around gender, transgender, sexuality, that kind of stuff. But obviously, in another sense, it's around a more fundamental question about authority and scripture and obedience to that, rather than a more liberal kind of take on authority.
So, just to be clear, you haven't left specifically over the issue of transgender or homosexuality in the church per se, or were those basically the grounds on which you said that is the hill on which I'm now dying?
I mean it's really difficult. I've known from when I was going through to be selected for the Church of England that the big issue within Anglicanism for decades has been authority and scripture. The reason that I think it was becoming increasingly impossible to have integrity was that because I would kind of say in the last 5 years in particular, there's a real acceleration towards enshrining and permitting liberal theology in a way that it impacted on you. And yeah, that's been around questions of gender. So when women bishops were brought in, the way that they were brought in, the moment that that happened, that they brought in these things called the five guiding principles, such that when you took a new job in the Church of England, they wanted you to subscribe to them. And within that, you were subscribing to stuff that I didn't agree with. I mean, to be honest, I think they're self-contradictory, but I would have been there. I mean, the best I could have gone and done for a new job in the Church of England would be to talk to the bishop and say, well, if you can explain those to me in a way that they don't contradict, I might be able to subscribe to them. But they were asking me to stay stuff that I knew I couldn't stay. So once that happened, I knew I was not moving from Rochdale. But then with that, they brought in, so there was some stuff about how they were using baptism liturgy to recognize someone transitioning in gender. There was stuff about sort of the kind of sexuality stuff that was just getting more and more ridiculous, that and the way that the people above me in terms of archdeacons and bishops were using that was meaning that stuff I was legally bound to attend and be part of and stuff like that, and maybe even take my people to, was going to have them preaching this kind of stuff. And so I'm there going, well, other than every one of those things in the middle of everything, kind of standing up and saying, that's wrong, that's not faithful, you know, I just kind of thought it was getting more and more stupid. That was why, you know, I couldn't see how you weren't just going to be spending your time fighting and standing up and basically getting into all sorts of legal battles and trouble. So that didn't seem like it was a possible way forward.
So would you still describe yourself fundamentally as Anglican, or would you say you have basically left the C of E and Anglicanism?
I think that in principle, Anglicanism can be a faithful, reformed expression of the Christian faith. I think historically that's what it was intended to be. I think there are places around the world that it is like that. I think it is such a mess in the UK at the minute, even in the groupings that are kind of trying to be that reform thing, that I don't think is viable. I think within kind of reformed Anglicanism, there's always been the, although people wouldn't always agree with me on this, I think there's always been the openness to a much broader understanding. So I don't think the prayer book is committed, for example, to episcopacy as being the only way to do church government. And I think there's lots of historical reasons for thinking that, that they're very happy to recognise the Presbyterians from the continent and stuff like that. And that would be my kind of, that would be my reformed thing. So whilst I think episcopacy is okay, I think the current state of episcopacy in the UK, whichever way you jump with it, is useless. And therefore, there's no particular reason to stick with it. And so in that sense, I suppose you're talking about, have I moved away from it? In that sense, I don't think I've changed my opinion greatly, but I'm not very tied to some of the distinguishing markers. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So given that some form of transition is what led you out, let's speak to your new position, if you like. What are you doing now that you're not a C of E minister?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of my employment, I'm not. I was doing a bit of work in schools before lockdown came, and obviously that kind of finished that. But the goal, really, when I finished and we moved out, we'd already looked in various ways about whether we could plant in Rochdale anyway. We haven't felt for ages that the Church of England is the way forward for Rochdale. I mean, it's so liberal that it's just unhelpful. It's an unhelpful, I don't know. I mean, you guys work in Muslim areas, I think, don't you? And can you imagine having to, so the vast experience of Christians that the Muslim community have is of liberal Church of England vicars. So every time you go as a Church of England vicar to something, the conversation has to start something along the lines of, so let me just be clear, I'm not one of them, and this is where I'm different, and we need to therefore the conversation that we're going to have needs to be different to the one that you were going to have with that that you thought you were going to have. And actually it's productive once you get beyond that. And that's sort of true in a whole set of ways. So we've thought of that for ages. So we still wanted to plant, but we ended up obviously having to leave our house and all that kind of thing. We've obviously had the friendship that we've had for, I don't know how long now, 4 or 5 years, something like that. And in many ways, you kind of came to me with a sort of, what do you think we could do? Which was a lifeline to us in terms of we didn't know how we were going to plant, but we wanted to plant and felt in a not hugely super spiritual way, but just in a real way that God's call on us was to, you know, we've seen a need, we want to do it, but we couldn't see how to do it. And so in conversation with you, we're sort of looking to plant as sort of part of Bethel, aren't we? Or from out of Bethel.
Yeah. So, From our end, the way this transpired was that you had ministry experience in Rochdale. You and I, in conversation, certainly before you left the C of E anyway, had recognised Rochdale is not exactly replete with top quality reformed gospel preaching churches. We'd identified it as one of the areas near-ish to where we are, that really needed a good gospel preaching church in the area. We have good links with another church in that borough who we work very closely with, and we're very grateful for their fellowship, and we're very grateful for what they're doing. But they're in a town on the outside of the borough, whereas we could see there's over 100,000 people in the town itself with no credible reformed church serving them. And so we wanted to put something there long before we knew doing that with you would be an option. And then when you stepped back from the C of E, it not only did our friendship mean I wanted to do something anyway to help in a more general sense, whatever that might have been, but it just struck us as a very obvious thing to do, which is to use your ministry experience of being in Rochdale, see the need that Rochdale needs a church, and knowing that there was a group of people that also wanted to see a church planted in Rochdale, it just made a lot of sense to approach you to do that.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I mean, hopefully it's going to be a way of sharing sort of good local gospel partnership, isn't it? I think one of the things that we, like I said, we tried, we looked at various ways of planting. And one of the problems of going to more national groupings was just that they didn't have that kind of, no one really has a vision to plant in Rochdale, do they, as a kind of national thing. The people don't look at a map and go, I know the strategic place to plant in the UK is Rochdale.
And yet it is because nobody is saying that, you're quite right, but it is, because the strategic place to plant is where there's a lot of people and there are no churches. That's the strategic thing to do, isn't it? Whereas what people mean by strategic is normally, is there a ready run through of students, or is there a ready made group of people who are going to come in and work in this area who could move in and make part of a core team? Whereas admittedly, the startup that we're going to have to do is going to be much harder, because we're going to have to get a team together and say, either you already live there, but you don't have a church there and you're all traveling miles out, so here's something for you. Or we're going to have to ask people to move there for no other reason than there is a gospel need, and we want you to reach those people. So it's harder to start, but strategically it strikes me as exactly the right thing to do, because there's nothing there.
No, I agree. And
I'm glad you agree. So,
yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, no, I think that's rubbish. I have no idea why we're going to watch that. But it's the same, you know, I mean, we've talked about it, and I know you guys on the podcast have. It's really frustrating, isn't it? So I think one of the things we would genuinely felt really low when we left, because we knew people who wanted a good church in Rochdale. We knew Rochdale. We've been there for 6 years. You know, I'm from Manchester originally. You know, I've done my ministry in the kind of mill towns for the last 10 years. And yet we couldn't get a church plant going. And now there were things that were my fault in that I hadn't thought how to do and stuff like that. But it was kind of sad to go, actually, strategically, it feels like there's a lot of stuff on a plate here for us. Whereas actually the sort of stuff I was offered was, well, why don't you go to this place and plant? And you were kind of like, but I don't know that place. Mm. You know, so the 6 years experience that I've got in Rochdale will count for very little in that place, because it's different.
Mm. So to that end, sorry to butt in. Do you want to just explain how then we're going to get something there? Because we've kind of talked about wanting something there and broadly that you're going to do it with us. Do you want to explain how we're going to achieve that?
Well, hopefully the goal is that we become part of Bethel. As a family. And so in that sense, we plant out of Bethel. We already have, so I have a Bible study going in Rochdale, not a very big one, but some people who are looking for a kind of faithful Bible teaching church. And who are keen on reaching out and who have experience of living and working in the kind of more Muslim areas and that sort of thing, which is just something that is an inevitable part of ministry in Rochdale, because it's got a large Muslim population. So the goal in a sense will be to have that home, what will in effect become a home group of Bethel, but based in Rochdale, with the idea that we grow the home group into a core team. We've got some other people who might be interested as well, some sort of local people who go to another church, and just to see if we can build that. It's not going to be your core team like, you know, your big city centre church puts about 40 people together and sends them out to some place. It's going to be the core team of about, you know, 15 people or something like that. But then from that to be beginning to think evangelistically and to think sort of gathering wise, gathering a church together as we proclaim the gospel over a period of time. So the goal is that over a 2-year period where I'll be working for Bethel as such, but working as a church planter in Rochdale, the goal is to take that core team and become a church. So independent in the sense of having our own sort of foundation documents and having our own meetings and leadership and that kind of thing in place, hopefully at the end of those 2 years, and our own finances and all that kind of thing set up. So in some ways that's quite ambitious, but in other ways it's actually a real joy and sort of benefit to have a couple of years where you've got a church that you are able to look to for some help, especially from our point of view, a church that is working in the same sort of context. There are differences between Oldham and Rochdale, which people from Oldham and Rochdale like to point out, but there's a lot of similarities in the kind of deprived northern mill town, large Muslim population, and just Bethel have got loads of experience of working in that kind of context, and it's just good to be. I was saying something about just being part of a more local way of planting. That's really helpful to us to have people, and not just who understand what we're doing, but also that you could just talk to for advice and wisdom, because they know stuff about the context as well.
Yeah, and I guess there's going to be a phased period over that 2-year time. So you're kind of starting, aren't you, for the first 3 months, effectively just as a member at Bethel, and then to being a home group leader, running a home group of Bethel, then to being a church plant of some sort with eldership oversight from Bethel, until eventually you've just got your own elders and your own leadership and everything, and you're basically doing your own thing. That's kind of the idea, isn't it?
And I think trying to do it any other way would be really difficult, wouldn't it? Because you have to have all that in place from day one, or you end up being really messy from day one and having to do it all on the fly. Whereas actually what you've got is a controlled setup for doing it. That's it just seems great, a great plan.
Yes. So that leads us then to you, Andy, because you're looking at moving on to pastors new as well. So you, like everyone who's come before you, has decided not to do this podcast anymore because apparently I can't hold on to anyone. So why are you leaving me?
It must be great to have so much in common with Manchester United. to be appointing like 5 managers in the last, what is it? As a Liverpool fan, that must sting a little bit. That you've got so much in common with United. So basically, I think this lockdown has set me back quite a lot in terms of how much time I've got to do various things. So I'm just going to have to start prioritising a little bit more.
So people know, what are those things that are taking up your time?
Yeah, well, I was coming on to that, before you interrupted. But are you all right today, Steve?
I'm feeling very low.
taking on a new pastorate at Firwood Church. My first kind of... Also, I need to apologise as well right now, because you might be able to hear my kids screaming in the background. I apologise for that. But
That's all for show, folks.
He
just doesn't want to own the fact. He doesn't want to do this anymore. That's it.
I just planted them there to prove that I'm so busy. A lot of it is to do with the lockdown kind of setting me back in my training. and kind of throwing out what my plan that I had and my schedule that I had to go into the taking over as pastor at Firwood. So that's kind of been thrown out the window, and it's just meant that I've had very little time to do kind of additional stuff like podcasting and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, so I'm just kind of taking a bit of time to get my head around this situation we all find ourselves in. I'm going to be catching up on my studies with Crosslands. I've got a, you know, Crosslands have been absolutely brilliant in giving me a plan to catch up. So I'm going to be doing that. And also as well, looking after three kids with one on the way. he's a big ask at the minute. With my wife's working 3 days a week as well. So I basically am taking over the homeschooling stuff. It's difficult, particularly when my own schooling didn't go great. So trying to teach people. So I feel like when the kids go back to school, the teachers have got a lot of putting right to do. What I've put wrong.
All right, though, because Stephen was telling us that he's quit the C of E to teach algebra, so you should be laughing.
Yeah. I'm struggling with year one maths, mate. It's you know, I've got a lot of respect for teachers. My wife's a teacher, but obviously with her working 3 days a week from home, setting work for her kids at her school, she obviously doesn't have the time on Monday to Wednesday to do it, so it's just kind of on my shoulders. So basically, it's time.
The fact is, you know, our families have to be our priority, don't they? And then, and then after that, it's our church family, and then after that, your studies are going to be the next most important thing, and then it's kind of a question of, do I have room for anything else or not? And I think it's fair enough to say no. So yeah, I. Been grateful though for the fact you've been doing this with me. But going forward, just to prove that not everybody who leaves this hates me, Stephen's going to come back on board. Now he's going to be a proper person back in ministry again, because apparently you don't count if you're not. That's why you quit last time, right?
Well, it would have been difficult to talk about ministry for the past few months, certainly, because I wasn't doing anything, or wasn't doing much. But I don't think people hate you, Steve. It's just like there's only a shortish period of time people can cope.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what my wife always says to me as well.
Suddenly this is going to turn into a counselling session for Steve.
That's why we do this, right? That's providing me with a service. Yeah, thanks.
So we're really grateful for you, Steve, but I'm leaving. Bye.
you're welcome. but we're gonna what we're hoping will happen, last time when Stephen was on this podcast, it was very much an Anglican and a independent speaking about our different views of ministry. That's going to change a little bit, because obviously Stephen, you're not an Anglican anymore, and you'll be sort of for a while under the auspices of our church as well. So I don't know how you're ever going to not like agree with everything I say. So this is going to become very boring.
I'll see myself as a critical friend. That's what they used to call governors in schools, critical friends. So I think that's my role.
I think what we're finding is you're just ascending the stairs to sort of like a higher plane of knowledge, until eventually you'll just end up agreeing with absolutely everything I say. And then, you know, your ministry will be as awesome as it could possibly be.
That must be it. Yeah. I have obviously always aspired to be Steve Neal.
Many do. Many do. It's a thing, isn't it? I just think everyone's ministry would be that much better if everyone just agreed with me, but they don't. Yeah. And I, you know, this is my small way of trying to rectify that.
And you wonder why people don't last very long on the podcast.
But you're coming back.
I know. I'm having another crack, is what we're saying.
Yeah. Well, I think on that note, we should probably call time on this. Yes. Thank you for your input. Thanks, Andy, for doing this with me for the last couple of months. Hopefully, as Stephen comes to join us, we'll still be keeping the focus on hard places, and we'll still be keeping the focus on going to where we see real needs in the church.